streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Bridgestone Weatherpeak. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
The Volume.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
All episodes available now on Prime Video.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate.
Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
FanDuel Sportsbooks wants you to get the most out of every NFL game day. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Here's the same-game parlay I got for you guys. Give me the Bucks and Eagles, under 52.5, the Bucks minus 6.5, and Antonio Brown's going to go for two touchdowns at plus 800. And this is one of the many reasons I love using FanDuel Sportsbook and why they're the best. They have the fastest payouts, they're easy to use, it's safe and secure, America's number one sportsbook, and you get same-game parlay bets, and there's no feeling like nailing a same game parlay bet. So lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. Are you new to FanDuel Sportsbook? They're also offering a risk-free $1,000 bet if you prefer that. Just sign up with the promo code JBOY, that's J-B-O-Y, and if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit, but you have to use promo code JBOY, J-B-O-Y. 21 and older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund, $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on the mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, New Jersey, and Virginia. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789 or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona.
Live from the College Football Hall of Fame, welcome to the J-Boy Show on The Volume, presented by FanDuel and hosted by Jake Crane.
This is Roman Harper.
This is Derek Stingley Jr.
This is David Pollack, and you're watching the J-Boy Show.
And you're watching the J-Boy Show.
And thanks for watching the J-Boy Show.
Can you feel it in the air? It's Friday, baby, and we are live from the College Football Hall of Fame. Had some football last night, got some tonight. Sneaky Saturday slate this weekend, and got another great show for you guys. Appreciate you guys tuning in, having a record-pacing month, and it's because of you guys. I just want to take time out to thank you. Y'all are the best audience from the Booster Club all the way to Saudi Arabia, to Australia. I think we're top 10 in Germany, too. Guten Tag, guys.
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag. But appreciate you guys joining us today. Got a great show for you. The one thing I love about Friday the most, other than we're dropping massive bets today, too. Over 20 bets. I mean, I'm just waiting for Keanu Reeves from Hardball to be looking through the window trying to write the numbers down.
It's
here.
It's beautiful.
You know, they say fake friends write numbers on, the real answer's on the mirror for me.
You know Drizzy? Are you dropping Drizzy bars early?
Look, it's Friday. We're excited. Like I said, we're dropping massive bets. We're going to go over our keys to victory here in Jake's Takes in our monologue, and we're going to dive deep. All right, we're going to dive pretty deep. Jamari Sawyer, as he does weekly, one of our favorite guys to interview, standout Georgia offensive lineman. He's got some great insight, about 8 minutes of real football talk from a real football player. We're going to play our five weekend questions game, a segment we really like here in the middle. Tyler Siski. Okay, I want to set this one up. I call him Coach Siski. Was at Alabama with Nick Saban, assistant director of player personnel, helped out on the field as well. Ole Miss with Hugh Freeze. Got unbelievable stories. You're not going to find, we talk about winning the water cooler, right? Going into the facility with the decoder ring, finding out what they're saying. You will not hear some of these stories anywhere else, and Coach Siski is not holding back. And then our weekend bets, and I'm giving out over 12 myself, and we're going to go ring around the rosy, 62-41. Navy and Memphis, don't understand why you couldn't hit the over last night. 52 points with a 55.5 over going in the fourth quarter, and Coach Ken over there at Navy just decided, hey, we're going to start throwing it.
Don't even get me started, Coach.
I'm not going to get you
started.
I'm not going to get you started.
Don't get me started on Georgia Southern.
Yeah, well, look, you know, my alma mater, the boys, Jags,
south in
little,
your mouth,
little
baby.
South action. It got ugly early, and Jake Bentley cruised through it.
I don't know what's in a sadder state right now. Sadder state, Statesboro High School or Georgia Southern football.
it's a tough play over there. Man. But as you can see, Cone is remote. Looks like he's about to go to a Great Gatsby party or sitting in some hotel room at right next to Hogwarts. It looks really nicely lit. He's got the candles going. The ambiance is perfect, which is great. Those aren't candles. Those are just cool little light bulbs, man. You got the whole setup in there. But all right, I want to jump into this these keys to victory? Because, again, we've had two really good slates back-to-back, and I think this is a great slate. It's underrated. That's why we labeled it Sneaky Saturday. So here are our keys to victory. Coney, who are we starting with?
Let's go Kentucky. Game day's there.
Jeff Foxworthy's the game day picker. Could he make an appearance next week? I don't know. We'll see. You might be an SEC fan if.
Check the waiting list.
Yeah, check the waiting list. But no, here's Kentucky. Here's, to me, and there's a lot of keys, but I want to talk about the most important ones. Because for Kentucky, you've got to find a way to generate points. Georgia, to me, is not going to turn the ball over a lot. You're not going to be able to get big special teams plays on them. So offensively, you have got to find a way to score enough points to beat them. One way to do that is you have to be a little exotic on first down. You can't just line up and run inside zone or power and counter at them or anything through the A and the B gap from an interior standpoint and think you're not going to be in second and eight. I know Kentucky's got an above average offensive line, but Georgia's defensive line is straight out of a planet we don't even know exists yet. So if I'm Kentucky, whether it's play action, whether it's boots, whether it's waggles, whether it's modified runs in the quick passing game, quick passes to the running backs, you saw Auburn try and do a little bit of that, you have got to get in second and six. You have got to be able to keep this defense somewhat on their heels because the way Georgia beats you is they dictate to you how your offense is going to play. They say, all right, you want to run it on first down and run into the wall, we'll get you in second and eight into pretty much a passing down. We're going to be able to mix coverages, and they can get pressure with four. So the whole menu is open for Georgia. So if you can get in second and sixes and second and fives and stay in front of the chains, that's going to lead to third and ones. That's going to lead to first and tens. That's going to lead to third and twos and at least put you in a situation where either it can be four down territory and you have two downs to get a yard and a half, which I think Kentucky could do, whether it's the sneak with Levis, whether it's some heavy jumbo personnel with Chris Rodriguez, who's a downhill runner. You have got to win first down. You have got to do your homework early. And we always hear the cliche, stay in front of the chains. Stay in front of the chains. You always want to stay in front of the chains, but if you don't against Georgia, you will have a lot of trouble scoring points. I almost went with red zone offense, but that's kind of obvious. I wanted to dig down into it a little bit, and to be able to sustain drives against Georgia's defense, you have to take some chances and at least be a little bit exotic on first down. And I'm not talking about running reverses. I'm not talking about flea flickers or anything crazy. I'm talking about being able to keep Georgia on their heels on first down. So that's my key for Kentucky. Now for Georgia, you have the best key there is. This is the best compliment that I can give a team. The key for Georgia is be yourself. That's all you have to be. You don't have to come out and do anything out of body. You don't have to try and turn into a fun and gun style of offense, because I think Georgia's offensive line is getting better as the season is going on. And we talk about the defense all the time, but the scariest thing about Georgia as you project them down the road and you look as the weeks pile up is they are getting better up front. The chemistry with Stetson, when JT comes back, whatever. And if that ground game is going to keep being solid for Georgia with the amount of backs that they have, you're going to see a ton of one-on-one coverage and man coverage on the outside, because the run game can be a death by a thousand cuts, and they can dictate the tempo of the game. Now, Georgia's got guy Ladd McConkey stepped up. Darnell Washington's back at tight end. We know what Brock Bowers is. We know the other receivers that are kind of coming along as they get healthier, and Georgia's been injury bug ridden, but yep. Guys are going to start to come back. So if you're Georgia, just be yourself. Do what you do on defense. Do what you do on special teams. Establish the line of scrimmage and go have fun. You can still run the ball 65-70% of the time and have a whole lot of fun. And Jamari Sawyer is going to join us here in a little bit, and that's what he talks about. You know, those offensive linemen, there is no bigger compliment than on third and four, the quarterback coming back and saying, all right, guys, here comes power. You want to know why? Because we know we're going to kick their ass because you guys are better than they are. That is like saying to a wide receiver, hey, go deep. I don't care if you're covered. We're going to throw it up. You're better than this guy. And for me, when I look at Georgia, their identity we know is defensive to offensive, but that offense is starting to absorb that physicality, that downhill mentality, that we're going to play on your side of the line of scrimmage mentality up front. And that's how you sustain success. That's how you really choke teams out in the third and the fourth quarter. And if you look around the college football landscape right now, there is not a team in the country that can match what Georgia has collectively on the offensive line and the defensive line. And like I said, the offensive line is getting better, which means their championship chances are getting much better. All right, let's go to the next one, Con.
Auburn.
Auburn versus Arkansas. This is a sneaky good matchup. This is huge for both teams. You look at Arkansas coming off two losses. The loss against Georgia, that's house money. They were just better. The Ole Miss shootout came down to the end. The defense was kind of out of sorts, whether it was lead zone or whatever they were getting from Snoop Connor and Parrish and the gang over there. But if you're Auburn, rush to win. I'm not just talking about the running backs. There are two areas of rush in football. I'm not talking about your adrenaline when you're running out of the tunnel. Your rushing game and your pass rush. Auburn this weekend has got to be able to run the ball more effectively than they have the whole year. The offensive line, we know they're somewhat deficient personnel-wise. Arkansas is going to give them that three-down look, which they're used to seeing in practice. Auburn runs a lot of three-down stuff. You see with Tony Fair there at the zero, and they try to mix it up, but it's mostly three-down. So they're going to be somewhat familiar. And I'm just not banking on Auburn's receivers stepping up. You can't. They haven't shown you the ability to do that. So I'm not going to assume all of a sudden the light clicked and they figured it out. Could they? Anything is possible. But we have enough sample size to know now Auburn has one of the most deficient wide receiver rooms in the conference outside of, you know, maybe Vanderbilt and South Carolina, probably the worst. And if they're not able to throw the ball, they have to sustain drives, whether it's Bo Nix running, whether it's Tank Bigsby running, whether it's Jarquez Hunter running. They've got to find ways to run the ball outside of your typical base plays. I would not be surprised if you saw a bunch of new runs this week from Auburn, and it's a copycat league. I guarantee you we see that lead zone play that Ole Miss was running and gashing Arkansas on. But on the other side of the token, don't think that Arkansas is not working on that and trying to fix it. But if you look on the other side of the token, Mike Bobo and staff know that Arkansas is trying to work on that. So do not be shocked if you see a lot of quarterback runs off of that play actions off of that play, and trying to get that backside safety to come downhill and fill that backside, the J, as we talked about, running the J and booting something off of it or putting somebody and leaking somebody in the flat or deep to that side. The other rush is the pass rush. Auburn has not been bad against the run, and I want to compliment the defensive line at Auburn for the way I thought they handled themselves against Georgia's run. They gave themselves a chance to win the game stopping the run, but on the pass side, Auburn has not been able to establish a pass rush, and I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be picky. It's honesty hour. We're always going to tell you the truth, good, bad, or indifferent. You don't want to go to a place where they're just pumping so much sunshine up your butt that you get radiation poisoning 2 weeks later.
Ouch.
We're going to tell you how it is. Auburn's defensive ends have got to go get the money. We talk about there's a bag of money on the field. Somebody in that defensive line room, whether it's Derek Hall, I don't care who it is, somebody has got to go beat an offensive tackle and go put pressure on KJ Jefferson, because KJ Jefferson has improved enough as a thrower, and you've got aliens like Treylon Burks on there on the outside, where if he has a six count, he has a five count, a six count, and a seven count. I don't care how good, I don't care if you have Deion Sanders and friends out there in the DB room, it doesn't matter. You can't cover guys for 7 seconds. As good as you are up front, and remember, we have a saying here, I would rather be very good up front and average in the back end than average up front and very good in the back end. And that's just how football works. So if you're an Auburn pass rusher, I don't care if it's interior or exterior, one of y'all's got to go get the bag of money. And if you don't, Arkansas is going to have their way with you on offense, and I don't know if Auburn's dimensional enough on their offensive side of the ball to be able to keep up with them, especially since they're coming off a 51-point outing and KJ Jefferson is growing in confidence as a thrower. Let's get to Arkansas. Attack the perimeter. Auburn is going to sell out to stop the run, or at least start to keep filling that box and trying to bracket Treylon Burks on passing downs. If I'm Arkansas, the numbers inside will be a lot more than the numbers outside. Do not be shocked if you see more perimeter screens and now screens and quick throws from Kendall Briles than you have the whole year, because they have the numbers. And Arkansas's wide receivers do a very good job blocking. Even Treylon Burks, who's humongous, his hands are humongous. If he gets his hands inside of your chest plate, you're done. He may dump you on the sidelines. So expect a lot of perimeter throws from Arkansas, and I would not be shocked if you got a lot more perimeter runs from Arkansas. And when you look at this game and you look at the way Kendall Briles has evolved as a play caller, he has the whole tool shed, which means he came from a place, his father being Art Briles, we know, that's up-tempo, spread it around, get the ball out, change the splits of the wide receivers. His father basically is the one who invented the wide splits, widening out the DBs to open up running lanes and putting them in conflict with their divider rules. And we've gone over divider rules on this show. But Arkansas is going to attack the perimeter quickly in the passing game, and if they do that, what is Auburn's answer? You have to start floating guys out. Now, there's less numbers in in the box with an offensive line that has shown the capability to be dominant in the run game. Not good. They're a Sam Pittman coach team. So you know that offensive line is going to be technical. They're going to be sound. They're going to know how to hold and get away with it. That's one of the nuanced things of coaching offensive line. That's a real thing. So don't be shocked if Arkansas attacks the perimeter a lot in the passing game early and makes Auburn have to start taking guys outside, opening up for that big gap scheme run game that Sam Pittman likes. Power, counter, insert, really putting it to you and trying to set the tone on offense and achieving that balance. All right, let's get to the next one. Ole Miss, you got to make Hendon Hooker beat you from the pocket. One thing that you've seen with Tennessee's offense, and Joe Milton was a decent runner. He didn't run as big as he was, but Hendon Hooker is a very fluid runner. He is a tackle breaker, he is an angle eraser, and he is a long strider. And like long striders at quarterback, once they get going, they can be a problem, especially if they're in the seam, and especially if it's one-on-one with a safety. Hooker's got a pretty good stiff arm, and you have got to make him beat you throwing the ball. Now, what does that mean? To me, that means you have got to make sure that your defensive ends are not rushing past the passer, are going too far upfield, because if you watch Tennessee on passing downs, Hendon Hooker is a lot more comfortable escaping the pocket laterally underneath where those defensive ends are going, kind of getting high and rushing by the passer, and you watch the tackle push him back, as opposed to escaping up through the pocket in a situation where they recognize man coverage, they realize guys' backs are turned, there may be one guy in the middle, and he's at a weird angle, and taking off. Also, you don't have to sack Hendon Hooker to be able to get three and outs. It's nice to bring pressure, this, that, and the other, but you have to make him sit in there and beat you as a passer. If you do that, Hendon Hooker has shown, even though he's looked good against Missouri and South Carolina, but so could me and 10 other guys I could wrangle up on here with the personnel that they have. That's not a shot at Coach Beamer. We know he's going to get the personnel in there. That is a shot at Missouri's defense, which is struggling to do anything right now, including against North Texas, Central Michigan, and Texas A&M this weekend. I think they're going to run it down their throat. But when you watch Tennessee and you make Hendon Hooker beat you as a passer, he has shown the tendency to put the ball in harm's way. Tennessee will have success against this Ole Miss defense. This is one of those games where we go back to what we said before the season about Ole Miss's defense. They're better than they were. We know that. They went to the JUCO ranks, grabbed a couple of defensive tackles. They're a little more stout against the run, but they are not near where they need to be an even little bit above average defense. So they're going to give up points. Turnovers are even better than stops. And I think if you can get Hendon Hooker to turn the ball over two, maybe three times, that's going to take away from some of the stops that you're not going to get against a Tennessee offense that's been really hot. And that could be the difference in a 10-point win or a 3-point win or a 3-point loss. And let's look at Tennessee. You got to get off to a hot start. And our Tennessee fan base, we have a great Tennessee audience here. They hit us up on social media all the time. In this offense, with the personnel you have on defense and going against an elite offense in Matt Corral, Braylon Sanders, Parrish, Snoop Connor, you have got to get off to a hot start. You cannot come out and go three and out twice and give Ole Miss a 10, 14-point lead. Because what does that do? That starts to eat at your run game. And as much as we talk about the up-tempo style of Josh Heupel's offense, as much as we talk about Tennessee's ability to get the ball out quick, whether it's on the perimeter, whether it's in the intermediate game, whether it's in the vertical game, Tennessee has to be able to run the ball. Every offense has to be balanced outside of a triple option offense. And when you look at Tennessee, it's almost similar to Ole Miss, that their run game is just as important as their pass game. It's just not as sexy. Is it inside zone? Yes. Is it zone read? Yes. But those things can be effective. And if you get off to a good start and you can maintain your balance at that speed throughout the game, you can compete with Ole Miss in a shootout. And if the defense steps up or Matt Corral puts the ball in harm's way and it kind of starts to snowball for him, that's where you can see Tennessee really, really start to make a move in this game. But if they do not have, in my opinion, after the first quarter and a half, at least 14 points, I don't think they're going to win this game. And you say, oh, well, Jake, you know, they go fast enough to play catch up. Well, that's great. You can go fast, but if you're one-dimensional, I don't care if you're Sonic the Hedgehog, they're going to roll you up and spit you out, and you're not going to be able to score enough points. And that's my final key to victory there. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, but if I'm Kentucky, I'm trying to get the ball to Wendell Robinson as much as I can.
Well, you know, the wand, but again, Georgia knows that. See, here's where Kentucky is right now.
Okay.
They bring in Liam Cohen, who to me is going to be a superstar.
You can already see the positive effect he's had on Will Levis and the rest of that offense. You see the change in formation. You see the change in methodology. But they are still built personnel-wise as a run-first team.
For sure.
They don't have – to beat Georgia, you have to have two or three Wandale Robinsons. You really got to have two of them and some guy on the outside that can go get a 50-50 ball and put pressure on that Georgia defense. And while we're on that point, I do want to send our regards, thoughts, and prayers to Tyke Smith, the Georgia defensive back that tore his ACL, coming off a foot injury, I believe. You just hate it for the guy, a guy that worked really hard. He's going to be fine. Tyke, we're really thinking about your brother. Hope you get back soon. You got a great career ahead of you in medicine now and sports training and that stuff. You're able to get back really quickly. But I just don't think Kentucky has enough weapons because Georgia's going to take Wandell away. And we've called Wandell the Wand Robinson. But they're going to take him away, and they're going to take the run game away. The same thing, and I'm not comparing Alabama's defense to Georgia's defense, but kind of the same way that Alabama took away the run game from Ole Miss and Braylon Sanders early in that game, and they made him have to go to Drummond. The number two, the number three, I know Josh Ali, the number two, number three receivers for Kentucky are going to have to play out of their mind, and we're going to go back to him. We talk about it all the time. When you're going against an elite defense like this, the quarterback run game is one of your only built-in advantages. That's where, to me, the best matchup for Kentucky is. The problem is, do you want to go running Will Levis into the heart of that defense or have him taking all these hits? Because Will is not scared. Will will lower his shoulder. He will bounce off tackles. But these Georgia guys, the last thing Kentucky wants to do is go up there and get Will Levis hurt because they ran him 15, 17 times. So that's kind of the game that you have to play. It's a long season. Not that Kentucky won't go up there to play to win, but there's a lot of different things going on in that game. Cone, what say you before we get to the Booster Club?
I'm really interested in the Auburn-Arkansas game here. I mean, both of them have had to battle Georgia recently, right? And, you know, Arkansas coming off the back-to-back losses with a heartbreaker against Ole Miss. I just want to see how they bounce back against Auburn and to see if, you know, if Auburn can really put up a fight. Like I told you on the Ole Miss-Tennessee front, I don't think that game will be particularly close, and I'm not trying to take shots at Tennessee. I think that Coach Heupel can get them in a good place. I just like Tennessee. I just like Ole Miss 10 or more in this game, even on the road. But, hey, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what Matt Corral and the gang can do, but I think that you're spot on the keys to victory here.
Yeah, and if it's me, I'm heating Matt Corral up. I'm heating him
up.
I mean,
you got to do something. You can't sit back, and Tennessee's defense is not good enough to sit back.
No.
You can't bring four. You're going to get tore apart. Like this game, this reason this game's 82 points for the over and under. If someone on defense, you can't sit back. You're going to have to heat them up, or someone's going to have to get turnovers, or it's going to be a 40-40 or 50-50 game.
To me, it's a race to three stops and a turnover.
Absolutely.
To be honest
or
with you.
Or field goals.
Yeah.
Who can stop teams for field goals?
The red zone is huge. The red zone is huge, whether you're Tennessee or Ole Miss. We always talk about guys don't get paid to move the ball in between the 20s. They get paid to score touchdowns when you get into the red zone, when the field shrinks, when the safeties can put their back feet on that end line and say, all right, we're going to keep everything in front and jump anything underneath.
Yeah. And you look at Hendon Hooker and you go back and you look at these games. When he sits in the pocket, when he's comfortable in the pocket, he has great feel. He throws an extremely good
ball.
He
does, but he takes chances.
He does take chances. Well, in that type of offense, you take chances, right? But he has been, these last couple games, and I know the defense they've been playing have not been good, but he's looked extremely comfortable and delivering the ball on time. His feet look great. He has touch. He can throw the fastball, the slider. And obviously, he's not where Matt Corral is. But I think this game, there's a reason this game's a 1.5, 2.5 spread. Right. I think this game, obviously you want to go with Matt Corral, but I think this game is going to come down to which team, what you said earlier, can play the best in the red zone. And doesn't have the detrimental penalties, the holding penalties, you know, who can stay ahead of the chains. You know, I just think this game is going to be closer than what a lot of people think.
Well, you know, I think a lot of reasons that spread is close is because they're looking at how Neyland affects opposing
teams.
And listen, they're believing in Knoxville again and good for them. But the way Ole Miss operates their offense at that pace, it doesn't affect them as much as an offense that just says, all right, guys, here we go. Let's look to the sideline. I'm going to change the play, this, that, and the other. Or they're going off multiple snap counts. Not that they can't disguise their snap count, but I think Ole Miss's tempo is going to negate a little bit of that noise, just like when Tennessee goes on the road. That tempo negates a little bit of the noise. Fans are used to a play, take a breath, let's get excited for the next play. Take a breath. Yep. Let's get excited for the next play. You're really getting the fans and the noise out of rhythm. And Ole Miss needs to start off hot, because the longer that game goes, that it stays close, the better chance Tennessee's going to have to win, in my opinion. Because, again, the Tennessee fan base starts to believe. And we talked to Velus Jones yesterday. We had him on the show.
Yep.
They believe in that locker room. Coach Heupel has got them believing. He's got the culture right. They believe in the system. And all they need is a little spark. And if you're Ole Miss, just like every time you go on the road, you want to take the hope away early. You want to make sure everybody wants to go home halfway through the third quarter or early in the fourth. But I do want to get to the Booster Club after we get done with Jamari Sawyer here, Georgia offensive lineman. Always a great interview, talking about the atmosphere Saturday, talking about how the team has grown throughout the season with Stetson Bennett. He's always a great time. He's always smiling. Let's get Jamari Sawyer in here. All right, everybody, as usual, we are joined by Georgia's standout and future NFL standout offensive lineman, Jamari Sawyer. Jamari, another win, another week. It feels like every time I bring you in here, man, it's a celebration. Congrats on another big win.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And, you know, when I watch you guys, and we've talked about this all week, you know, you guys seem to be winning the way that you want to play. I mean, it's not like you guys are having to overexert or do things that are outside of the framework of what y'all want to do, which tells me you guys are controlling the tempo and dictating the pace of the game. And as a guy up front, that's the goal, right? Just do what we do and keep winning the way that we win.
For sure. I mean, like I always said, I mean, physicality is kind of what we were bred on, what our program is bred on. And, you know, we like to control the tempo of the game, you know. In the offensive line room, especially, we talk about being able to control the tempo, having the ability to take over a game whenever we need to. Coach Munkin, he talks about being able to comfortably turn around and hand the ball off. There's nothing more comfortable for him as a coordinator to be able to do that. So, yeah, we take great pride in that up front.
Yeah, and you know, you guys, and I'm going to say this with a grain of salt, trailed for the first time this year. Now, you guys didn't get the ball first. Auburn went down and kicked a field goal. Was there anything said about that, or was it just kind of like, all right, hey, we're down three, let's go keep doing what we're doing? Because, again, you guys have dominated so much, and you ended up dominating the game. Was there anything said before y'all went out there for that first drive?
No, just kind of, I mean, we wanted the ball first. We always want the ball first as an offense. We're greedy. But, you know, they got the ball first. They came out and had a great plan, actually. And we're able to put up points on our defense. Was kind of like a whoa, like they scored, you know, type thing. But we were in their stadium. They were hyped. Their fans were hyped. So we just kind of had to respond, talk to each other. We said, hey, we got to respond no matter what happens with the defense. No matter what happens on our first drive, we got to respond. At some point, we got to help the defense. The defense has helped us out so much this season, so we got to help them out. So yeah, we just kind of wanted to respond, remain composed in that crazy environment, and you know, take their best punch.
Yeah, and again, I mean, you guys going on the road, big SEC game, big rivalry game against Auburn. You know, Jamar, you've played. You've been when stadiums have been full. You've been when stadiums haven't been full. It kind of seems around college football that noise this year kind of has an extra gear to it. Not that it really affected y'all. It didn't look like procedurally y'all really had any problems. But, you know, Arkansas coming to y'all's place the week before and struggling with it. With some of these young guys, are you seeing how it's affecting them on the field, like just having the full stadiums for the first time in their career?
I think it is a different atmosphere. But, I mean, it all comes down to preparation. We practice all week with the crowd noise in every period. Every day, so you know, we kind of felt comfortable with it once we got there, and a lot of guys were really open to the challenge. I mean, like when that crowd got hyped right before kickoff, we was like telling them to get more hype. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, we kind of accepted it. Kind of, you know, it's kind of one of those things you kind of just got to live in, and you can't really be scared of it or be wary of it. And we just kind of try to preach that message as older guys to the younger guys and say, hey, like, you know what? Don't be surprised by it. Like, it's Jordan here. It's going to be what it is. Like, let's go in there and let's accept it. And eventually it won't be as loud. And that's when we'll take over the game. So.
Yeah, and in the second half, running the ball, you know, you guys came out. I thought Stetson did a really good job, and you guys did a great job protecting him. I think I counted a 7 count back there for Stetson one time because Auburn was kind of loading the box, and you guys were able to find holes and stuff like that. You know, from your point of view, the chemistry between Stetson and Ladd McConkey seems to be like they just wake up in the morning and just start throwing the ball to each other. How big of a connection do those two guys have? Because it seems like, you know, the ball's getting out before he's getting out of his breaks, and they're where they're supposed to be, and that's got to be fun to watch from up front.
I mean, those guys work really hard, you know, routes in there and stuff like that in practice. So, I mean, the connection's been there. We practice all summer. Do walkthroughs all summer and 7-on-7s and all this and that just to get ready for the season. So, yeah, I mean, the connection is going to be there. Those guys work really hard. They know how to seize opportunity, obviously, between both of those two guys. So the connection is going to be there between them. And, you know, I'm excited for both of them. They both have had huge opportunities to affect our program, and they both have. So, yeah, the connection is definitely there between them.
Yeah, well, you know, if they keep going like this, I'm just going to start calling them the law firm, McConkie and Bennett the Fourth. I mean, it just sounds literally like a law firm in Athens. So you like, y'all can use it. Go ahead and use it. Tell Nakobe all them, they can use it if they want. But, you know, Jamari, as we're wrapping up here, big game against Kentucky. They're only going to get bigger. Game day's coming. That's great. I know you guys are worried about handling business. At this point in the season, with this matchup, do you guys feel like you are hitting your stride? Because you're never there. And I know Coach Smart has been talking about messaging, and me and you talked about it last week. There's a new message for each week. What's the message for Georgia this week coming from the top?
Don't take the rat poison. Don't take the bait. You know, everybody's talking about how we're number one, how we're this and that, man. As a leadership group, we know that. We've been in that position before. Earlier, I think it was my freshman, sophomore year, we were like number one for a week, and then we just blew it. Or we were highly ranked, and everybody's talking about how good we are. I mean, at the end of the day, it takes work, and let's not forget how we got here. Let's not forget what made us Georgia, how we got to whatever, you know, the prestigious university that we want to claim to be. Like, that takes work. That takes effort. That takes physical Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and we want to go out there and have those no matter who we're playing, no matter who's on the schedule. So for us, we just want to be that blue-collar program that we always have been and not take a ranking or all this publicity for granted. You know, we want to be Georgia no matter who we play. So,
for sure. And my last one before I let you out of here, how excited are you for that atmosphere in Sanford Stadium Saturday? Because that's not rat poison. That's part of the deal. That's why you go to a place like Georgia to play in games and atmospheres like that, seeing all that red and black out there and all those grown men in shoulder pads and spikes on them, man. And is Jordan Davis going to come out in that again like he did last? That was that to me, it was like a nightmare if you're on the other side. I mean, Jordan came out like the Undertaker, man.
It's a big man. It's a big man for sure.
And you're a big man. You're not little. Shoot, that's a big man saying that's another big man.
For sure, that's a big dude. But I'm excited for it. I mean, you were there for the Arkansas game. I mean, it was crazy. So I can only imagine, like, you know, when the fans actually get some sleep and they're able to come in there and fully rested. And at 3:30, it's gonna be wild. I'm excited for it. It's gonna be a physical game. It always is. They pride themselves on running and stopping the run. So do we. So it's going to be a physical game. It's going to be one of those ones where you wake up and say, okay, like, this is going to be fun. And I know the fans are going to be excited for it. It's a top matchup, and I can't wait for it. I really can't wait to play them. So.
Well, Jamari, I appreciate it, buddy. Good luck this weekend. Know the atmosphere is going to be unbelievable as you guys try and keep it rolling. I appreciate you taking some time, man. You always do things the right way. That's why it's going to work for you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HEARD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HEARD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Don't take the rat poison. We've heard that one before.
Where did that come from?
Definitely. Coach Smart. Taking a page out of Nick Saban's playbook, which Coach Saban had an interesting quote today. I believe he said, you know, nobody thinks we're an elite team anymore. He's just feeding the beast.
Oh,
you know, I asked Coach Leach yesterday on the show. I was like, hey, would you rather play a team coming off a disappointing loss or a team coming off an unexpected win? And he said, you know, it was a good answer. He's like, I can't control it either way, so I've stopped thinking about it. But you know deep down, he'd much rather have Alabama beat A&M by about 20, because those guys are rolling into Starkville pissed off, and I don't know if there's a cowbell on the planet that's going to be able to slow that train down.
Woke up upset.
That's woke up good. And chose violence.
Yeah, they're choosing violence on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Will
sure.
Anderson was about to rip the top off of that podium when they asked him, the question about what's been happening in this. I would, if you could be a fly on the wall in those meeting rooms, just when the players are in there, especially the older guys, because they are having to live up to a standard that those older guys left to them. And whenever you get in that type of situation, you're accountable for that. You're responsible for that.
Absolutely.
And that's what you've heard your freshman year and your sophomore year and this, that, and the other. You know, even though Will Anderson's a sophomore, rare sophomore leader on a team like Alabama, you have to uphold that standard. We hear that word, standard, standard, standard. And I would not be shocked if that game was not close and Mississippi State can't line up and run the ball and it's not in their bag. It's not what they do. Like a Texas A&M, like a Florida. So the inside linebackers, Christian Harris, Toa Toa, those guys, it's going to be a lot easier for them as opposed to taking on a dominant defensive line. All right, let's get to the Boost Club real quick, Blaine.
Yeah, so we got a couple donos here. We got a Salty Dog, a $20 dono.
Burger.
He says, key to victory, J-Boy Show has the keys to my heart.
And
go
the
dogs.
Keys to the streets.
I love it.
Thanks, Salty Dog. What else we got over there?
We got a $9.99 donation from Austin Litlow. Austin, I appreciate it, brother.
Austin's an OG.
Yeah, just want to give a shout out to the guys at Crane Bros. Much deserved success, and it's only going to continue. Pork chops for lunch Saturday. War damn Eagle.
Pork chops for lunch. Calling it out. Austin Litlow, I want to say something about Austin. Austin is one of the people that jumped on the show before anybody knew anything about it. He's been with us the whole way, brother. I appreciate you. I know there's a lot of you guys out there, some that are in the chat, some are not. We really appreciate y'all. Tell a friend. You can tell everybody. We're going to keep rolling. Any questions from the Booster Club before we get to five questions?
Any questions?
Don't mean any questions. I'm like Freddie Freeman with the glove.
We got a question
here
from Bob Rutherford. Do you think that the 2021 Georgia defense could stop the 2019 LSU offense or the 2020 Alabama offense?
Gosh, I would love that matchup. Now, we have to define what stop is. It's with those offenses, keeping them under 30 points is stopping them. And you know what? I think they'd have a good shot too. And the reason is they can pressure you with four. We talk about this all the time. The teams that are able to only pressure with four, the whole menu is open in the back end. You can zone, you can man, you can combo, you can do whatever, because you don't have to manufacture pressure. Because anytime you have to manufacture something, whether it's offensively or defensively, you're having to rob Peter to pay Paul. And whenever you do that, you open yourself up. If I want to blitz and I want to bring a seven-man pressure, I'm naked in the back end. We're in zero. And there's guys in this league that even if you're bringing more than they can block, even out of empty, that they can get the ball out and it's one broken tackle and it's gone. It's not just a 50-50 ball. A lot of people think, oh, okay, well, it's one-on-one, so they're going to win the 50-50 ball or maybe the back shoulder. It's if they do get the ball and they break a tackle, especially in zero, it's 88 and out the gate. And that's something you really worry about from a defensive side. But when you only have to pressure with four, if you pressure with four and they want to go max protect and go into two-man routes, great. Fantastic. Look at how the numbers work out on that. You want to keep the back and the tight end in? That's fantastic. Think about all the people that are on offense. You have five offensive linemen, a tight end that's in there to help, a running back that's in there to help, and a quarterback. That's eight people. That's eight people. I'm not a, like I said, I'm not a mathematics professor or a mathematician, but that leaves you really three-man combinations. And if you're only rushing four and you can even bring that fifth, it's six on four. Or we're 7-on-4.
Yeah.
So now you can bracket their two best and still have an extra guy to a little flavor saver there in the back end to maybe spy or just jumping underneath, whether it's a robber or anything like that. So to me, that's a big key. That's a great question. I would love to see that matchup, Bob. I really would.
Absolutely. Got a question here from Razorback and Rockets Highlight Reel. And he says, does Barry Odom get his defense turned around even when Catalan's broken hand?
Look, and we were going to say something about Catalan as well, and that guy's tough as nails, and you worry about that at safety. Barry Odom, to me, has done a really good job of doing more with less, and I'm not saying that Arkansas does not have good players on defense. Their first 11 on defense can really play. Where it gets iffy for Arkansas, and that's how it is when you're in your second year and you haven't had two or three recruiting classes, to be able to bring guys off the bench. Remember this, guys, win the water cooler here. You do not win games with your first 22. You win games with your first 44 and really your first 56. So that's something a lot of people kind of overlook, and we talk about depth all the time. Mm-hmm. Depth all the time. Depth sustains, and depth helps you thrive at the end of the year. And that's something that I think is a big challenge for Barry Odom this week. Now, you're going against an Auburn offense that does not scare you remotely as much as the Ole Miss offense does. They really don't. Ole Miss has a better offensive line than Auburn has. Ole Miss has a better quarterback than Auburn has. Ole Miss doesn't have better running backs than Auburn has, in my opinion, but they have better wide receivers. So there's a lot less to take advantage of from an offensive to a defensive side. So I think you're going to see Barry Odom really simplify this week, because sometimes you beat addition with subtraction. Instead of adding too much, you take a little bit away, you let them play a little faster, and when an offense isn't able to beat you in multiple ways, when you simplify things, it tends to help you out, and it doesn't lead to the big plays that we saw last week. But do not think for a second that Barry Odom was not harping fits this week. They probably went out in pre-practice. They took the D-line, the linebackers, and the safeties, put the cans out there, and worked fits to motion, worked fits to pulls, worked fits to everything to make sure those guys know, hey, we got to stop overrunning stuff. Because there's one thing about playing hard. It's controlled aggression,
yes,
though. You know, a laundry machine can play hard. All right, but it's being able to play as hard as you can while being as fundamentally sound as you can. It's the old baseball adage, right? The harder I swing, the more fundamentally sound I have to be. The better my eyes have to be. The better my hands have to be. I can swing harder if I want, but if I start swinging hard and I'm out of control, I'm not going to hit the ball, totally negating the whole point of swinging hard. So that's kind of where I'm at there. I do, before we get Coach Siski in here, I want to get to five questions. Listen, we're going to get back to the Booster Club. Don't worry. So let's start with the five questions here.
Does Alabama?
Go ahead.
I can roll off these five questions, or I do have Tyler Siski in here. If you want to switch the order, you just tell me what you want to do.
Let's get Coach Siski in here, because I want some stories, and then we'll get to five questions. We can do that in bets on the back end.
That sounds good. All right, I'll hit you with those after this. Let's get him in here.
There he is, the man, the myth, the legend. What is up, man?
You're my guy, man. How you been?
Shoot, I'm trying to get like you. What do you mean?
We spent our whole career, you know, when I was mic'd up at practice, I had to stay away from you.
I know.
Get like on some blooper reel, and so now we're putting it out for everybody to see. So
that's exactly right. Yeah, we don't want the ever to go public, what was said there. But, you know, Coach, before we get started, kind of tell everybody your background a little bit. I prefaced it through a tweet out there because, man, you've been to a lot of big-time places and worked under some big-time guys.
Yeah, I've kind of ran the gamut. You know, I started off as a student assistant at Troy, then went to Northwestern State. So you're going to make me track down. Left there with Steve Roberts, went to Arkansas State, and then this guy named Hugh Freeze gets the offensive coordinator job. So that's how it works in coaching, right? So I was with him at Arkansas State, went with him to Ole Miss, and then out of the blue one day got a call from a guy named Nick Saban. Didn't really have a prior relationship, and hired me there to run recruiting at Alabama. Then wanted to get back on the field. That's when I got up with you at South Alabama.
Yep.
Went to South Alabama for a little bit, and then came over with when Matt Luke got the job. Matt's one of my best friends, and when he got the job at Ole Miss, and came back with him here.
Definitely, and you're doing some very interesting stuff now at the end. I'm going to let you kind of tell everybody what you're doing because it's fantastic stuff, really kind of new age stuff when it gets into recruiting and kind of that. But, Coach, I do, and we're going to get into stories, but I just want your overall thoughts on college football this year because now the defenses have had a spring, they've had a summer, they've had a legitimate fall camp. We've seen the offense kind of take a back seat somewhat, but the parity really outside of Georgia, and you can say Alabama still, but has been about at an all-time high. I don't know what you think, but kind of what do you think on that?
Yeah, I think definitely the COVID super seniors have given a lot of teams a big boost. Like if you look at a team like Iowa, okay, so Iowa never loses, besides tight ends, they don't lose many people to the NFL, so they're getting all these guys back. So when you're able to have 100, 105 guys on scholarship, I mean, your depth, the guys that would be starting for you normally are now your backups. And so the depth has just gotten to where the point is, and you know, because when we were at South Alabama, the first 22, there's not, I mean, for most games, you have a shot. It's player 40 through 60. Well, now player 40 through 60 can play. So that's why you're seeing all this parity, in my opinion.
No, I think you're 100% right, and super senior is a great way to put it, and I think the transfer portal is going to have an effect on that too, maybe pick up for a little bit of that. But let's talk about the SEC, and I want to start in the West, Coach. You know, we've seen Alabama lose to Texas A&M, kind of a rat race right now, still think they have the best roster. How are you kind of looking at the West and in the top tier and the middle tier?
Well, for me, and I can do the whole league, for me, it's in tiers, there's no question. And
for sure.
Still, I heard what Nick said too. Georgia and Alabama are in the elite tier. I know what happened last week. I get it. I've been in that staff room, too. I know what's coming. So, but Georgia and Alabama are still in the elite. And then, for me, you kind of got this second tier of what I call contenders. And there's seven teams, okay? And you got, you know, Florida, let's see, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Arkansas, State, Auburn, and A&M, okay? And what I mean by contenders is any week, which we saw last week, any week they can win a game. Okay, and they can beat the elite teams if they bring it and have a great game. It's just going to take the elite teams kind of not playing great, and it's going to take those contenders playing great to win that game. And then my favorite category is the purgatory category, right? So in purgatory, we got LSU and Tennessee for two different reasons, okay? First of all, LSU is just, you know, they're roller coastering right now. You know, what are they going to bring week in, week out? And then Tennessee, I think, is going to get there. And the only reason I put them in purgatory is they have this sanction cloud that they're having to recruit
under. I know.
And it's just – I've been there, done that. It's very difficult. I think it's – if Tennessee fans will relax and give Heupel time, he will get them there. I believe that. Missouri, South Carolina, and then Vandy, so –
Yeah, once they get some more depth on that defense, too, it's just, if you're Tennessee, just tell us what you're going to do to us. Like, just please, just tell us so we know. The longer that thing hangs over and you don't know, negative recruiting is a thing that happens all the time. I know you know that as a guy that's been in charge of recruiting. But, Coach, take me into how are the staff meetings going for Nick Saban this week? How are the assistant coaches feeling walking in there? Because you've been in there, man, and it's, let's just say it's not candy, rainbows, and Kit Kat bars.
Well, surprisingly, he does very well after a loss. You know, he is the master, okay? He's the best psychology guy there is. But he does really, really well after a loss. But I will tell you this, they got the point. You know, he tightened the screws a little bit around there this week. I would not want to be playing them right now. I just wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I don't know if y'all have talked about the Alabama game yet, but – I would definitely join on that, take that minus 17 and run to the house with it.
For sure. We actually spent about 3 minutes earlier on, because I had Coach Leach on yesterday, and, you know, I asked him, would you rather play an Alabama team? You'd really rather not, but would you rather play a team coming off and kind of an unexpected bad performance loss or maybe an unexpected win or an expected win? And, you know, he kind of gave the coach answer. Coach Leach is going to say what he thinks. But he was like, you know, I really can't control it. But those guys and the players in that locker room, and you know what shocked me, Coach, is the front seven for Bama, especially at the inside linebacker position, they don't look like they normally do. I mean, they're not downhill in the run game. I mean, there's many clips. And I don't want to, you know, call guys out, but at the end of the day, the tape doesn't lie. Do you think the front seven on defense, Alabama's kind of mortal there?
I mean, I know what everybody sees on TV. I know you saw the Florida game, and then you saw the A&M game, but there also was the Ole Miss game mixed in there too, where they played well, right? So, you know, for me, I think it's more of you know, you got to remember now, these guys hadn't had really any kind of adversity in, what, 2 years? And so, and you got a whole new group of guys. And so when you, when you're looking at it, I think, and it's the same, I went through it when I was there, because I was there the year with Blake Sims when we lost to Ole Miss at the, when they tore the goalpost down. And I know what happened after that, and I saw the leadership, and they're, okay, it's our turn now. There's nobody else here to save us. And they're talented now. I mean, we can sit here
they are,
and talk about it all day long. They got they got plenty of talent. And I really look forward for those guys to step up. You're going to know this week. I mean, there's not going to be any lingering questions. I think you're going to know this week, and I expect them to respond.
Well, I mean, to me, and to that point, though, Coach, and you know this, Mississippi State's not going to line up and run the power at you. So I'm very interested to see, and Ole Miss is good up front, but in my opinion, you know, they don't have the guys that Florida and really A&M from a talent standpoint, physicality standpoint have. I got to see it against a team that can line up and run the ball effectively, which I know, like you said, they're very talented. But when I see Henry just squatting in the hole waiting on A-chain and it's one cut and it's gone, as opposed to seeing guys that you had when you coached there, the Dante Hightowers that are downhill, the Rolando McClains that are downhill. Typically an Alabama Mike is somebody that's coming downhill and not only trying to hit you, they're trying to hurt you.
Yeah, you know, the game has changed so much, so quick. You know, the days of recruiting those, you know, big-time, you know, true Mike backers have kind of gone, because the game is played sideline to sideline.
The spread and all that stuff, yeah.
Right, so you're getting smaller bodies in there than you know, than you used to. But at the same time, you said something very key, and that's why I'm saying what I'm saying, is if Alabama's having an off night, A&M, Florida, they have the athletes – line up and play with them. And look, Mississippi State's doing a great job. They got Matt Dudek there, who's now running recruiting there. It's a great, great, great guy in running recruiting, and he's going to get them back. It's just going to take some time. And State right now just doesn't have the athletes to go do what A&M could do or Florida could do right now. So that's really why I'm saying what I'm saying about tomorrow.
No, and I agree 100% with you. I'm taking Bama all the way to the house. I wouldn't be surprised if they win that game by 24, 27, even 30 points. But, Coach, let's talk about Georgia for a second. You've seen a lot of really good defenses. You've seen a lot of really good front sevens. I know Tyke Smith is out. This Georgia defense is about as good as I've seen it. And people will say, you know, it's kind of a cliche thing to say and a generic thing to say. But to me, what really stirs the drink is that Georgia's good enough defensively, regardless of what offense they play, to dictate what you have to do. And anytime that happens, whether it's countries at war, whether it's defensive line against offensive line, you're able to control the tempo. Do you think that's the difference in this Georgia team?
You know, I've heard, you know, of course you have too, all over social media and everywhere else, is this Georgia defense the best ever? Look, I'll make the argument that they probably are, because, you know, 10 years ago, when you look at the, what was it, 07, 11, and 12 Alabama teams that were the top whatever, they were doing it against teams running right at them, and there wasn't today's offenses. And
that's
a great
point.
To do what they're doing against today's offenses is crazy. But here's the other thing. I saw it live and in person. I went and stayed with my good friend, Matt Luke. I don't mind telling you.
Oh, yeah.
I went and stayed with Matt a couple weeks ago and went to the Arkansas game. And just to see Arkansas would have them schemed up, okay? And to see the hole open, and you're like, oh, here they go. And it closed so fast. It seemed like every yard was just a struggle just to get a yard. And when they put that kind of pressure on you, it just, you know, you're a defensive guy, you know, it creates the third and longs. And when you get third and long, good luck.
Oh, for sure. And again, once you get the third and sevens, third and eights, third and nines, now they're going to just send four at you, which they can. Or you see some five-man pressures with N'Kobe kind of snaking his way through there. But they really don't have to send a ton to get pressure, and that's the difference. But, all right, Coach Siski. One of the things about you is you're a phenomenal coach. Obviously, you don't get that high of a level without, but you have the best stories I've ever heard. Can you just give our audience just a couple of them? It can be about Coach Saban, Coach Freeze, whatever, because you told me some fantastic ones.
All right, I'll give one. I'll tell myself a little bit. I was trying to think of one that I haven't told the public, I guess. So my favorite one probably that Coach Saban doesn't even know, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for this if it ever gets back to him, or I'm going to piss people off in Tuscaloosa. All right, so running recruiting at Alabama, I had Miss Linda Leone, who was the greatest human being ever. She gave me access to Coach Saban's calendar, okay, because I had to we got to set a call up here, watch film here. I had to have it so I could run recruiting and know when he was available, okay?
Yeah.
But during the spring, I love to play golf, right? And so we had a group of about six of us that really enjoyed to play golf. Well, you know, it's grind time around there, and you don't really get to go play golf, you know, as much. So I would see where, but coach would like sneak off and go play golf, and it'd be on his calendar that he was leaving at like 4 o'clock. Let's say it, and it's usually after signing day and fall spring recruit, and so it's golf at 4 o'clock. Well, he had a group that he played with out at North River Yacht Club. So I know you got a lot of Alabama people who listen. So if you've ever been to North River Yacht Club, you'll understand the story. So he would leave at 4 o'clock. We would wait for 10 minutes, okay? And then at four ten, I'd go around in the morning and going like 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock. So at 4:10, we all get in our cars and we leave. So we gave him a 10-minute head start.
For sure.
And we would go out and we would park next to the highway before you go in the gate of North River Yacht Club.
We had
tipped the cart guys pretty well, okay, to take care of us. And so they were on the radios, and then I had a guy on the phone. I was in the front, and he would say, hey, so when you tee off on number one at North River, it goes up the hill and it goes back down a hill. So as soon as he teed off, they would say, hey, he just got in his cart, and we would just haul butt in there. I guess I can't cuss on the show.
Nobody's going to say anything.
Okay. All right, we'd haul ass around the corner.
There you go.
So he wouldn't see us driving in, okay? And so by the time we got in the parking lot, he was back over the hill. And so they would bring up all the carts. We all had an individual cart, and we'd go, and we would sit there, and we'd get loose, and we'd have 6 balls on the tee box, okay? And we'd sit there, and he would play 2, 3, and when he teed off on 4, they would say, hey, you just teed off on 4. We would all 6 just start hitting pop, 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 pop. And we would go play. So we would play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so he'd never see us. All right. So when we get to 10, okay, when we get to 10, the 17th tee box is on top of 10. So we play 10, 17, 18, get in the car and be gone before he called us back around, come back through the back nine. So, and I never would forget, like I lived back behind there, behind North River Yacht Club when, I worked there, and so I would be driving through the golf course going home. It'd be like 7 o'clock, and I'd pass him crossing the street, and he'd wave. He's probably wondering why in the world he passed me at the same time every day when he was out playing golf. So he'll probably get mad at me when he hears this, if it ever gets back to him. But unless Josh tells him, I hope it won't get back to him, so he doesn't get mad.
Yeah, well, I just love how it's like such an legitimate operation. Like, there's so many people involved. It's like the Bay of Pigs, man. Like, you got to know when he's where here, what angle he's at on the 17th hole. It just shows you kind of what he – just the mystique of Coach Saban. But, no, that's a great one. That's one you've never told me, Coach. You told me a lot of them. That's one I've never heard before.
The other one is, I'm not telling you who the other 5 were, because they would get incriminated too. So,
okay.
And I'd say 3 of the 5 are very famous, but we'll leave it.
I'm sure if you look down the list, you can figure it out. But no, that's a great one. I do got to ask you too, Coach Siski, one of the things, and me and you've talked about this before, and I'm trying to remember, I think you were at Alabama and Ole Miss was playing, and obviously when you're at a place and you go to another place and people either don't change their signals or this, that, and the other, just how do coaches communicate that? Because there's a picture of you in the press box with binoculars on, and you got Vern Lundquist and they made a huge deal about it. How much did you hear about that after the game? Because I know you had no idea what was going on during the game. Well, that's just part of it. Everybody does it.
I had no idea. You had to bring that up. I still get trolled to this day.
I'm sorry. Coach, I had to, man. You know I love you. You know I had to, though, because it's great.
I know. I see. And Blaine's over there just dying laughing. I know.
Oh, he is, man. He's a disaster right now.
Yeah, so I've been trolled about it this day. I got thick skin. That stuff doesn't bother me. It's kind of part of the deal. But
for
look,
sure.
At the end of the day, you know, and I tell people this all the time. No, but the truth is not as sexy as something that you make up.
Of course.
The truth was I was helping with personnel. I mean, that's the truth.
Yeah.
I didn't even have – I purposely did not have a headset on that week.
Well, they changed the signals, Coach. They're not going to keep the same signals when they know you got other coaches over there.
They're not. But does it go on? Absolutely. You know,
For sure.
I think part of the reason that everybody's pissed at me is the people inside, because that's what I did for Ole Miss the year before. Like, I was like, hey, do y'all not remember what I did last year? Like, I mean, it's like, but I was like, whatever. And you can't, you know, when you're in Alabama and Coach Saban ain't going to address it for sure. But, I mean, it was just something that got blown way out of proportion. So everybody's like, well, you were yelling pass or run. I was in an argument. The truth is, and again, it's not the truth. It's not as sexy as, you know, you like to make it be, but I was in an argument because a guy was saying it's going to be a run, it's going to be a run, it's going to be a run, okay? Well, I knew because I was at in the system, number three. They had taken a guy out, put in 10 personnel, and what we used to call 10 red back in then, because I was doing personnel. Mm-hmm. When he put in 10 red, the number one reason he put in 10 red was to throw the pass. And then he put three on the ball, okay? And as you know, as a defensive guy, when an inside receiver, whether it's two or three, is on the ball, it's going to be something's passed up 99% of the time, or it's going to be some kind of spit screen or something, right?
Yep.
And so he was like, it's going to be a run, going to be a run, going to be a run. And we never had our inside guys at that time. He's changed up since. But at that time, we never had our inside receivers off the ball, on the ball when it was a run. If they were on the ball, it was going to be – they were the penetrating route in the route combo.
Yeah, and again, there's so many little stuff that goes on. I mean, you're putting that guy on the ball, especially in 2x2, inside guys on the ball. That's when you get your smash alert, get ready, all that stuff. But, you know, Coach, before I let you go, and I can keep you on here, man, we got to start bringing you on every week, if that's cool with you, which I'm sure it is. Tell everybody what you're doing now, because it's legitimate. It's pretty cool, and, again, you're good at everything you try, brother.
Yeah, so I partnered with a company called Quick Cut almost a year ago, and they are the new alternative to Huddle. And so what my company is doing, Quick Recruiting, as you can see, we are running the recruiting side of Quick Cut. And so it's a free service to the kids. It's a free service to the high schools. And so we're not here promising kids scholarships. We're not charging any money. All the coaches have to do, seriously, is download your film, send us and email it to us, send us your prospect sheet. Okay, you can see how it's spelled. You can find us on Twitter. If you need a direct messages are open, all that stuff. But the thing about it is, and what we do is the universities use our service, okay? And we're everything. We have FCS clients, we have Group of Five clients, we have Power Five clients, okay? So what we do is we go in there and we cut up and make evaluation tapes, but you know the difference between an evaluation tape
That's
how, because highlight tapes are how you miss on kids, right? So we make evaluation tapes on all the kids, and we're doing that. And then my favorite, which I know you like, is we're doing a podcast we call Home Visit. We're doing it for fun. Me and my man, DJ Elliott, that's former coach of Kentucky. We got some Kentucky fans in the house. And
there we go.
We do that. You can find us anywhere, podcast or fan. We have a great time. We make our picks. And kind of like you do, we kind of pull the curtain back and tell you how it is.
That's exactly right, man. Everybody needs to check that out. Coach, it's always an honor to have you on. Let's do this again next week, man, and tell my nephews I said what's up.
You got it, bro. Hey, they're starting to act like you too, so I gotta get them right.
Uh-oh. Well, they're gonna be old enough to here soon. But, Coach, I really appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
You bet, man. Take care.
All right. Love Coach Siskey.
Yeah, man.
That's some real stuff right there.
You're not going to find that
anywhere
else.
You're not going to find that on the other 3 o'clock show, I promise you. You need to run better. You need to pass. Let's talk about 10 personnel red. Yeah. Let me hear you guys talk about that. That's some real stuff. We really appreciate Coach Siskey there. All right, Kona, we ready to get into 5 questions, and then I'm going to get to the Booster Club. We're going to drop these bets, and then we're going to roly-poly-oly on out of here.
Let's do these 5 questions. Why don't you hit me with a 30-second answer on each of them, all right?
Let's do it.
First one, does Alabama bounce back?
Yes, I'm with Coach Siskey. I don't think this game's going to be close. That locker room obviously has gotten together. They do have elite talent. I think you're going to see a very clean played game. I think you're going to see a very fundamental game from the tackling. I don't think you're going to see busted coverages. And I think you're going to see a very, I guess you could say, neat offensive performance. And I don't think Mississippi State's going to be able to slow down Bryce and J-Mo and the whole group. I think Bama bounces back.
All right. How does Kentucky score?
Oh, man. 30 seconds, huh?
Every offensive coordinator in the nation is watching you.
That's exactly right. That's a pins ready. Now, I mean, again, you got to be exotic on first down. You've got to take shots. But Georgia has to play down a little bit. I mean, you've got to find a way to get Wandale Robinson the ball in space, as hard as that is. And you do have to be yourself. You don't have to go crazy outside of yourself, but you have to catch some breaks. You're going up there. Game day is going to be there. Sanford Stadium's going to be nuts between the hedges. I think, again, you've got to try and establish a run somewhat on the perimeter and then work your way inside, but it all comes down to first down to me.
Love it. Who is on upset alert this weekend?
I got Oklahoma. Talked about it yesterday. Yep. Gary Patterson, Slytherin graduate. They always do this at TCU. Oklahoma, a lot of distraction on the outside, even though I think Caleb Williams is going to be an absolute stud. I like TCU in my super dog, I guess you could call it, to take a term from another show. But if you're going to take a shorter dog, maybe, you know, like what do they call those little dogs, like Chihuahua or whatever? If you're going to take like a little dog, give me BC plus 3.5 at home versus NC State. Mm. Don't believe in the quarterback situation. And Jeff Hafley is a witch of the highest order. So give me BC to beat NC State. And the big one, give me TCU to horn frog their way in there and get a dub in Norman.
I love it. All right, number four. Does Edo survive this weekend?
I feel like we ask this every weekend, and it still shocks me that the man has a job. And again, I'm not rooting for people to get fired, but this is a business, and he's paid very, very well. And LSU has not played very, very well. You look at the injuries, Boutte's out, Ali Gay is going to have surgery, Ricks is out, Stingley's out, Major Burns is beat up, their offensive line's been struggling. I think Florida goes in there and wins this by 14 or more. And if they do, how long can LSU let the negativity last? How long? Because it's about to start affecting recruiting. And once it gets to that point, and all these other coaches, you think there's sharks in the water now? Wait until they lose another one at home, and the fan base and all the few people that are left on his side turn on him. That's when you know you're cooked, and that's when you got to make a move. I don't think he survives this weekend. I really don't.
Okay, last one here, and then I want to hear your picks. Which game has the most playoff implications?
Oh man, this is a fantastic question. And you know, looking on the outside in, to me, I'm still going to keep it in the SEC. When you look at, as again, Bama and Mississippi State, because if Bama drops one, even though I don't think they will, they're not going to make the playoff with two losses. I don't see it. But you always got to look at the undefeated teams. Oklahoma State and Texas is a big one. Oklahoma State, the only way they're going to have a chance in hell to make it is to go undefeated. They're going to a Texas team that jumped out on Oklahoma, then got the rug pulled out on them there in the end when the move was made to Caleb Williams. That's when I think's big.
Oklahoma State, Texas.
There. I think Texas is going to win that game. Really looking at the undefeated teams, Iowa's playing Purdue at home. You would say, all right, Purdue's not very good, but the Big Ten's weird. It's 11 and a half. Iowa struggled to score. So there's a decent amount of them out there. That's why I'm calling it Sneaky Saturday. Mm-hmm. Georgia-Kentucky, to me, I don't see that game, you know, being close. I don't think Georgia's going to lose. I really don't see it. Kentucky, to me, while they're a contender, I don't think they're a playoff team. Cincinnati's playing UCF. So those are a couple to kind of keep your eye on a little bit this weekend. All right.
Love it. Why don't you give me some picks?
All right, here we go. I've got to do these kind of in an order. I'm going to start with my FanDuel money line parlay of the weekend. This isn't the Friday parlay. This is the Saturday FanDuel, shout out FanDuel, parlay, four-game parlay.
Four-legger, huh?
Four-legger. Wow. It's a four-legger, but it's money line.
Okay.
Okay? It's money line. So we can't get crazy with it. Here's what I've got. Ole Miss money line at Tennessee. That's one. A&M money line at Missouri. Florida money line at LSU. And like I mentioned earlier, the one dog I'm going to take, Boston College money line at home versus NC State. That's a four-legger. That's a little FanDuel special.
Jeff Hafley and the boys.
Hafley and the boys. Sprinkle a little bit on that. Go get the butter. Go get the money. And look, FanDuel's the number one sports book in America for a reason. Yeah. I'm not just saying that. They really are. The payouts, I love the fast payouts. That's the thing for me. The same game parlays, all that stuff. That's what kind of separates them in my mind. But those are the four to take this weekend. Remember, that's a J-Boy special for you. Now, to my Friday parlay.
And for Been hot.
We started this 2 weeks ago. Hit on our first one, hit on our second one. Like I said, we hit on this one. We're getting in the plane and going to Vegas. I don't care what anybody says. Shout out Austin Lucky. He said he'd give us a tour out there. Here's what I've got tonight. Pencils out, minds right, hearts wide open. Marshall, North Texas, under 66.5. Marshall's having some trouble scoring. We are having trouble scoring. So I'm going to take Marshall, North Texas, under 66.5. Give me Montana State money line at Weber State. They're a plus 1.5 dog. I was coached in Montana before. Montana State, they both have really good defenses.
Yep.
I think the over-under's at 45.5.
Okay.
I think Montana's offense is slightly a little bit better than Weber State. Give me Montana State money line. And I'm going to play a little, I'm going to go against the grain here. San Diego State, San Jose State, over 41.5.
That's
guys,
such a low number.
Guys, can somebody win 23-20? Because, look, San Diego State, we know they're going to run the ball. They're not a passing team. San Jose State, however, has struggled against the pass. So if it's me, San Diego State's having success running the ball. It's going to set up to play action. I think it's going to take some shots. Is Nick Starkel, former, I believe, Mississippi State quarterback, going to play this week? He's been hurt the last 2 weeks, even though the backup, who had experience, has come in, thrown 5 touchdown passes in the past couple weeks. Give me the over 41.5 San Diego State, San Jose State. So that's Marshall, North Texas, under 66.5, Montana State, money line, San Diego State, San Jose State, over 41.5. And now that brings me, in finale, I told you we're dropping a lot of bets. We're dropping it like it's hot, Snoop Dizzle style. Bets for this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
La Tech at UTEP, -6.5. Give me the Bulldogs. UTEP struggles to throw the ball. La Tech's played in some big games. What Dana Dimmel's done at UTEP is awesome. They're 5-1, but they haven't really beaten anybody outside of me and you. I'm going to take La Tech -6.5. Make the play, guys. Michigan State going to an Indiana team without Michael Penix. I got a -3.5. Kenneth Walker is an absolute wizard running the ball. Had a huge week last week. They're really kind of finding themselves. Mel Tucker will be back in the SEC before it's said and done. So give me Michigan State -3.5. And then give me the Longhorns of Texas at home against an undefeated Oklahoma State team. Mike Gundy, the locks are flowing, but the points will not be. I'm taking Texas -2.5, first half, baby. That's La Tech -6.5, Michigan State -3.5, Texas -2.5, Lane Kiffin. All right, what do we got for you guys?
Cone, you want me to go? You got it.
You got it, bud.
Yeah, you okay over there, bud? All right, this is what I'm taking.
As long as you don't take as many picks as Jake just did.
Yeah, I think he took every game that's being played.
Sometimes
possible.
You got it. We're on the volume. Sometimes you got to give them volume. It's Montana State. Watch your mouth.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I
that's a big deal up there. They'll kill you for that.
Well, I'm in Atlanta.
And they won't
so I feel
find
good.
You either.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I am taking, all right, I'm going to take Florida in the first half, -6.5.
Love it.
You know, all the injuries on LSU, I just don't think they're going to be able to cover, even if that's at LSU. So I like that game in the first half. And I'm taking the over for Wisconsin Army, 21.5 for the first half.
You're taking the over.
The under. Excuse me.
Figure it out, dog.
The under. I just don't see a lot of points in this game. I don't see neither of these teams can really score. Army's quarterback is questionable, and he's coming back, so we'll see. Regardless,
under 21.5.
Under 21.5, even if he's in or not, I don't see these teams scoring more than 21 points in the first half. And then I'm taking, what is my third bet?
Let's look it up here.
Yeah, my third bet.
Scanning. Coming to the surface, scanning for danger.
What is my third bet?
You need a leather book to write him in?
He does.
Cone, get your bet so I can pull this up.
Yeah, get your bet. Let Lane pull his up. He's got 13 things going on. He's like Inspector Gadget right
now. Amateur hour. All right, here we go. Listen, just to recap what I already have. I have the Clemson-Syracuse under tonight, 45.5, and I have Oregon -7.5 first half. All right, I also have my Sharps, Arkansas -3.5. I believe that line went up. I have Ole Miss -3.5. I believe that line went down, actually. But here's what I'm on the hook for tomorrow. Give me the Texas A&M Aggies, -9.5 at
Love
Mizzou.
It.
We're going to see what they're made of. Did they only get up for the Alabama Crimson Tide, or can they make a season out of it? I want the Aggies, and let's find out. I want UCLA, +1.5 at Washington. Look, I just think the Bruins are going to go up there. Hey, five of my teams are road teams this week, so let's see. I'm trying to climb back out of an 0-2 hole. I like UCLA to
dangerous,
go win on the road.
Man.
Let's see. I'm going to be running a gauntlet, all right? And then, Jake, I'm taking one from you, buddy. I've been listening to you say it all week. I want TCU +13.5 at Oklahoma. Give it to me.
Nice. I love how you're taking the road, guys, too. All right, Blaine, have you figured out this one or still some getting lost
in
translation?
Taking Cincinnati -12 for the first half against UCF at home. UCF doesn't have their quarterback. Their offense, they just lost to a Navy team who is terrible. I believe in Desmond Ritter. They're at home, so I think they're going to come out. They're going to start hot. That UCF offense hasn't been the same since he's gone. And, you know, I like these picks, man. I like all three of these picks. Code, you say you're betting 5 road teams?
I think I have 5 road teams.
Woo! Dangerous man.
It's a bold strategy, Cod. Let's see if
dangerous
it pays off.
Dangerous man. again?
No, all right, I have four. I have four of my five are road teams.
Nice. 62 and 41 overall, guys. We got to stay hot for the people. It's been a bread festival. We got to keep it going. Yep. They're relying on us. I know one bachelor party is relying on us, too. Blaine, we're going to get to the Booster Club and show them some love right here.
Yeah, we got a $4.99 donation from Nicholas Bowers. Appreciate
nice,
it, Nick.
Nice.
Outstanding interview. Makes me miss the details involved with football in the South. Let's get some bread this weekend,
Let's do it. Booster Club, what do we got? That interview with Siski was absolute. It was a smoke parade.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a David Holst says, not trusting Blaine picks. I only listen to the Dark Lord.
Well, listen. We had with Cone going remote. Yeah. And listen, I'd love to do the Dark Emperor every day, and we do it so much. Yeah. We don't want to overdo it, and we don't want to piss off the Dark Emperor. He's got a lot going on. There's a planet they have to blow up at 6:30 Eastern tonight. There's a lot going on.
He doesn't like anything. He's a very organized person.
He's a very organized person. Schedules. He wants it to go exactly as he's foreseen it.
Absolutely. We got a question here from Braxton Barnes. Braxton, what's up, my guy? What is Derek Mason trying to accomplished schematically by only rushing three consistently? Need more QB pressure, in my opinion. Clifford, Bennett all have the seconds to just sit back and pick that Auburn secondary apart.
Yeah, here's the thing if you're Derek Mason. Here's the decisions you're having to make. Okay, you know that you cannot pressure with four and get pressure on a good offensive line. They haven't been able to do it. All right, they haven't the whole year. They've shown you they can't do it or they're not ready yet. But whatever, that's just what the tape says. So you have to decide, okay, do I just pressure with more than four, like I mentioned earlier, and get a little naked in the back end, which is one way to do it?
Yeah.
Or do I say we rush three, play coverage in the back end, try and make the guy make the right decision? To me, you got to blend both of them. I've been surprised that he hasn't pressured more, to be honest with you. Auburn's been kind of, not lackadaisical, but they haven't pressured a whole bunch. They've rather rushed three, and to me, to quote the great Dave Tollefson, defensive end for the New York Giants, that won two Super Bowls. He was Strahan's backup. He was the big guy that did the karate kick. If you rush three, you don't deserve to win the whole game. Which is basically prevent almost, and it prevents you from being a good defense. Auburn has to start pressuring more. And look, Derek Mason knows a ton of football. I'm not sitting here trying to tell Derek Mason what to do, but it surprised me that he has decided to really kind of play it not soft, but play that umbrella coverage and just rush three because he can't get pressure with four, and they're worried, I guess, about giving up the big play by bringing pressure. But eventually, you got to make somebody do something with pressure in their face. You got to put somebody in their face and see if they can stick in the pocket, make the throw, and take the hit, or that's how you force teams to turn it over. How many turnovers Auburn's defense got?
Not a lot.
You want to know why? Because you're just sitting there, and the offensive lineman, when you rush three, it is the most fun that there ever is as an offensive lineman. Because the guards getting back, they're like, oh, there's nobody. Here's a little inside move. Mm-hmm. Wham. That's how they get it. Auburn's got to start bringing pressure more, or they're not going to get pressure.
Yeah, I agree. And, guys, so on the wings thing, me and Jake made another bet.
Yep. We
doubled down on this. That I have Kentucky covering 14.5 versus Georgia.
Yes, and here's the deal. Blaine was originally going to have to eat five super hot Trinidad Scorpion wings. He decided to double or nothing. And since we're doubling or nothing, and I'm taking Georgia to win by 15 points or more, if that happens, now he has to eat 10 Trinidad Scorpion wings, and he cannot drink something for 5 minutes. That's been a caveat we added to it.
I live on the edge,
if
boys.
I lose,
I like to live
it's the best part about doubling or nothing and being the winner. I don't have to do anything if I lose. But guess what? I'm not going to lose because Georgia's going to win probably 45-13 or 45-7.
Wow. I think it's a 24-10 type of game.
24? You think they're going to score 24?
24-10 type of game.
Grow up, Peter Pan.
Heat them up. Kentucky, heat them up. I don't believe in it. Heat them up.
You're going to be heated up.
Good.
Give me some questions from the Booster Club before we roll.
All right, yeah. Hayden Fuller, hashtag Ask Jay Boy. I don't bet on sports aside from straight bets between me and my buddies. What do you guys look for specifically when you make your picks?
Oh, man, there's a range of things. Things that I look for, number one, injuries are always key, especially at key positions, whether it's quarterbacks, this, that, and the other, because that affects the way the game's going to be called and the game's going to be played from a chemistry standpoint, from a play-calling standpoint, from the chances and the risks that you're willing to take, how far outside of your identity or balance does it get you. Another thing is the weather, obviously, you have to look at. If you're a team that throws the ball around a lot and it's going to be a monsoon, it's going to affect you a little bit. I look at the tempo that the teams play. Are you a fast-tempo team? Are you a slow-tempo team? Are they two fast tempo teams? Are they two air raid teams where they're going to throw the ball a lot? You throw the ball a lot, you get more incompletions, yep, and you stop the clock more as opposed to a team that can run the ball. And then again, you got to look at home and road. You have to look at home and road. That's another big factor. There's a ton of factors really that go into it. We can get into the ideologies. We can get into the schemes of it. Who plays what? Where? What matchups are the best? You always look at matchups. You know, is there a huge outlier in a matchup that a team has against another one? So there's a lot of things, but to me, those ones that I gave you are the keys that I would look at.
Yeah, I agree. When I kind of look at it, you got to look at, you know, what's the team's identity, and you look for matchups, especially running the ball. The trenches will never lie to you. All right,
they'll never
offense
lie.
And defense, they will never lie to you, and that's kind of my cornerstone and my foundation of how I bet these games. All right, so let's go. You want another question? DJ, yep. Barbie, hashtag Ask Jay, but which team has more total rushing yards, Arkansas or Auburn, and how much does each team's quarterback contribute to that?
I'm going to say Arkansas has more rushing yards than Auburn.
I agree.
I just think they're better up front. And you said which quarterback what? Which quarterback contributes more to the run game?
Yes,
I'm going to go Bo Nix. I'm going to go on the other side because I think Arkansas knows Auburn can't get pressure with four, and they struggle with a pass rush. And I think that's going to give KJ more opportunities than Auburn gets with Bo Nix in the pocket. And I think you're going to see Bo run more. Now, again, this isn't just quarterback design runs. I'm not saying Auburn's going to get up and run Q power 25 times, but I think Bo Nix is going to have to scramble more because the receivers struggle to get open. The offensive line isn't great. And then on the other side, Arkansas has a dude in Treylon Burks and an offensive line that's going against a struggling pass rush. So I'm going to say Bo Nix contributes more to the rushing yards for Auburn, but Arkansas runs the ball. What are you smirking about over there?
So we have brothers in here.
Really?
Yeah, okay, so you remember the donation earlier was Nicholas Bowers.
Yes.
Right? So boom.
Brock Bowers?
$5 donation from Eric Bowers.
Wow.
Who said,
it's a Bower outage.
Can be outdone by my brother by super chats. Y'all do yourself a favor and add the Braves money line to your parlays. Go Dogs and keep it up, boys.
Thanks, man. And of course it's the Dodgers. I didn't want to talk about this today.
In the
I don't
arms of an angel.
It's tough, man. It's tough out here for a Braves fan, dog. It's tough out here for a Braves fan. It really is.
Anything but Mookie Betts, man.
And just not Mookie Betts. Please, give me Chris Bryant all day. Just keep Mookie away from me. You want to talk about a witch? A witch in the wardrobe? We got to pitch against the Dodgers again. I don't care about home field advantage. I don't want to play the Dodgers. I'm tired of it. I've seen this movie so many times. Give me a couple more, Blaine. We're getting out of here.
Yeah, question from Dakota Faulkner. Who has more overall yards and who has more touchdowns, Bo or KJ?
KJ.
Wow. Wow, got a question here from 10-0. When Saban retires, who will go down as his biggest coaching rival ever? Urban, Gus, Dabo, Les Miles, Kirby, or Jimbo? I guess you can throw Harsin in there if you're looking into the future.
Well, Jimbo's the...
It's got to be Gus.
The only assistant to beat him. But, I mean, it's got to be Gus.
Here's the
thing.
Only team.
Here's the thing. Nick Saban had a lot of success. Auburn is the only team that gave him trouble, and they made the greatest play in the history of college football that I don't care if Bama wins 30 national championships in a row. It's still going to be the greatest play ever. So that's one that they're going to be replaying over. I would say Gus Malzahn. As crazy as that is, I would say Gus Malzahn.
Got a question here from Mike and Mary, and he says, hashtag Ask J Boy, how intense are the Bama meetings this week? They make them tread water for 3 hours before they actually go in the meeting.
How intense? Think about the most intense moment of your life and times that by 1,000. If somebody drops a pencil, they're not picking it up. Like if the pencil just drops and somebody's talking. But look, in all seriousness, the intenseness doesn't have to come from the coaching staff. See, that's where
leadership,
your culture and your leadership comes in. The players hold each other accountable and police each other, and that takes a huge weight off the back of the coaching staff. But it is intense as a camping trip. Think about that one for a while. I'm going to let that one just think about.
Let's see what you did there.
Just let that marinate.
We got a $10 donation from the DGD podcast.
DGD.
Appreciate it. It's Friday. Tomorrow, the number one ranked Georgia Bulldogs
had
will win another
there,
game
you?
On their road to the Natty. Go Dogs.
I agree with them 100%.
Yeah, I mean, y'all going to win the game, but, I mean, that's not the game y'all are worried about, DGD. That's not the game y'all are worried about.
No,
y'all
deep down.
You're worried about one game.
Deep down.
One team will you – one face in the mirror.
There
and
is.
You know what that face is.
You know it is. When you look in it, you know who's
looking
back
yourself.
At you.
You see Nick Saban standing
he's there.
Right next
he's
to you.
He's there. He's always like Voldemort. You just can't say it
around
the facility.
Don't say it's a Candyman. Don't say his name too many times.
Yeah, don't spin around three times and say it. But no, appreciate you guys. Been another great show. Shout out to the Booster
Absolutely.
Club. Thanks for the donations. Tyler Siski, we're going to get him back on
Love
next week.
Siski, man.
He's got so many stories. I mean, he's like Eric Carle. Dude's just full of stories.
So
make sure you hit subscribe. Check out everything on The Volume. It's great stuff. Take the bets. I'm going to tweet them out again tonight. I know we have a ton of them. I'm sure FanDuel's going to be letting you guys know the ones we picked. Remember, Ole Miss money line, Florida money line, A&M money line, Jeff Hafley and the boys at BC money line.
Let's go Syracuse.
Hey, yeah. We got some big ones tonight, 62 and 41. It's been a whole hell of a lot of fun. And like Kentucky's undefeated record. You just won yesterday, but I'm using it again.
14 and a half, baby.
Like Kentucky's undefeated record, we're going. Go on.
The J-Boy Show is produced by David Cohn, associate producer Blaine Crane, audio engineer Faison Sharif, executive producers Jake Crane, Vince Thompson, Steve Chamberlain, and David Cohn, voiceover announcer Mark Aston. Please subscribe to The Volume on YouTube, where you can catch us live weekdays at 3 p.m. Win the water cooler with The J-Boy Show.
The Volume.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.